And that is another way you could look at it, that John was saying when he said, and I'm speaking of that, when he said that no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. In the first chapters of John, I believe it was John 3. Yes, John 3. When he said that he meant, except of course, Elijah, Enoch, and others who were taken up in special cases. Because if all men went to heaven, and here's another point I would like to make in regards to this. If everyone when they died went to heaven, you say, Paul, see, this proves what you say is wrong. Well, if everyone when they die goes to heaven, then there would be nothing special about Enoch. There would be nothing special about Elijah. Because we all would be translated at death and taken to heaven while our bodies remain and are buried. Whereas they are merely, their bodies are actually translated and they are taken to heaven, but they all end up in heaven in the same state. Which would mean that Enoch, Elijah, and such would no longer be exceptional if everyone else basically experienced the same thing. If they are all walking around in spirit bodies up in heaven now, as though they had already been raised from the dead, then there is nothing exceptional about Enoch or Elijah. So I think I've made that abundantly clear, that the exceptionalism, and also perhaps maybe are reading too much into it, one or the other, I mean, just because he was translated that he wouldn't see death doesn't mean that eventually he did not taste death like every man. And just because Jesus is the only one ascended into heaven, but he that came down, it does say no man. But sometimes those things are stated in a way which is, of course, excluding those few exceptions. That the general rule is no man. But I prefer to take it as no man. That Elijah and Enoch did not, though they were taken up, though they were translated, they did not remain there, but returned to some other place and wait resurrection. And also they would use this in terms of Moses and Elijah appearing with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm going to throw this in, because it's going through people's minds who disagree. Moses and Elijah appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, you know, it was also written in the time of Christ that many saints came out of their graves and were seen for several days after Jesus' resurrection as a sort of mini resurrection. That is exactly what I think was with Moses and Elijah. They were probably temporarily raised. They were temporarily raised from the dead and saw Christ. Or this is a very interesting idea that I've had. Perhaps when they were translated, they were brought to the future and met with Christ. And then brought back. Now, each of those seems fantastical. But it is a fantastical idea that there even is a God. So, all kinds of fantastical things are possible. I know when I talk about the serpent in the garden, people say, you actually believe a snake could talk? I'm like, well, the ass spoke to Balaam in the book of Numbers. There was a donkey who talked. Why not? Do you actually believe that the universe could spring from the Word of God? Or from a singularity? Or whatever. I mean, that's just as fantastical as the next. The fact that I'm sitting here is fantastical. Though we do not think of it as so because it is so utterly common. Our own existence is so utterly common that we neglect and absolutely miss the fantastical fact that it even is. Without faith, we see in verse 6, it is impossible to please God. God cannot be pleased without faith. God does not like us not to have faith. He's determined that faith is so important that without faith it is impossible to please Him. Faith is so important. It is by faith that we obtain all the other promises of God. If you want to be righteous, if you want to walk uprightly, if you want to be virtuous, if you want to have true honor and glory and blessing in the Lord, then you will walk by faith. You will believe in the promises because faith is required. We got to go from faith to faith. You have to have faith to obtain temperance. You have faith to obtain righteousness. Faith is required for every aspect of our walk. Without faith, why? Because how do I know I'm going to be righteous tomorrow? By faith. Because I don't see tomorrow yet. You know, when I talk about the sins I've overcome, how do I know I'm not going to do it tomorrow? By faith. And it's not just, and it's a very strong persuasion within me. It isn't just like, well, I believe it, and it's happening because I believe it. I'm believing it because God, I believe God has made it so. And he's already shown me from all those other days that he's caused me to walk for him. I know I have faith. Tomorrow will be like today. You know, gravity is still going to be operating. The Spirit of God is still going to be operating tomorrow, helping me forward, helping me win the race. That is faith. I believe that what he has brought me this far is not going to just abandon me tomorrow. Why would I believe that? That's lack of faith. That's what the problem was in the wilderness with the Israelites. You know, God had brought them out by miracles and signs and wonders, but they lacked faith in what God would do tomorrow. It's not that they didn't believe what he had done. They believed it, but by what he had done, they were not persuaded. They did not have faith in what he was going to do in the future, or to just trust that whatever he would do in the future would be as good for them as what he had done in the past. And the reason they stumbled was because at present, things seemed fearful. And that is a temptation always for every person who has faith, that when today's circumstances look bleak, our faith begins to waver because we think, today is the day, maybe he's forsaking me, and tomorrow he'll be gone. But beloved, do not be so. Let us please God. Let us continue. Let's believe in God in spite of our circumstances, because that is the only thing that will help us out of our circumstances, is to continue to have faith in what he is going to do for us, and what he has promised to do for us. We must believe that he is. I believe in God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So, go from faith to faith. I believe in God. What God? Who God? What God? This God. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek him using speed. Diligently seek these things. If these things be in you and abound, you know, you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Diligently seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How do you seek it? By faith. How do you have faith? Well, I believe that God wants me to seek his kingdom, and that his kingdom is there for me to find. And my faith is that I shall find it, even though I don't see myself having found it yet. You know, all things are put under his feet, but we do not see all things put under his feet yet. All things are given to us, righteousness, holiness, perfection, right? But I don't see it yet. But yet, what do I have to prove that it's coming?